All right, let's go to faith and healing. Exodus 15, verse 26. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Exodus 15, 26. Now, the B part is what we're particular about, and you should know why, because we've been through the A part. And it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. The word there is Rapha, which means one who is literally doctor. Alright? A doctor. Alright? That's one who cures diseases and sicknesses. And also, we said it's also someone who prevents sickness and diseases of having a hold over your body. Now go to Exodus 23:25 to see this. Exodus 23:25. Hallelujah. Say, my Father, my Father God loves to heal the sick. He wants to heal the sick. So Jesus Christ manifested that in the earth. Healing is in the character of God. Hallelujah. Healing is in the character of God. God is my doctor. Is my personal doctor. So I'll show you one thing. Is my personal doctor. You know, earthly doctors, they call it medical practice. That means they are still going to find out what's going to happen. They go review. He's not in the medical practice. Praise God. He's a healer. Hallelujah. So you understand that. Exodus 23 and 25. He says, and you shall serve the Lord your God. You can take it out because that's the Old Testament. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. The word to take away is sore in the Hebrew S-U-R. It means to remove or to keep from happening. And so, some very strong Hebrew scholars there, it's to keep it from happening, because he's talking about prevention there. I will keep sickness away from you. Praise God. So he keeps sickness away from me. See, when you hear God's word, anything God says about himself, you say it too. He didn't say it to show off, he said it so that he can say it. Hebrews 13:5. For he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that you might boldly say. So God is not saying that to show off. He's God without anybody's praise. He's God without anybody's worship. Nothing makes him God. No one makes him who he is. But you see, when we say what he says about himself, all right, what we're basically doing is that we are appropriating who he is into our lives. Is that clear? So if he says, I will take away sickness from your midst, or I will not allow sickness in your midst. You see, this is what he will not allow sickness in our midst. Praise God. That's what you ought to say. And so, you know, it's so clear that sickness, you know, we saw that the first day in last week. So 1 Corinthians 11:30, he says, for this cause some are sick, some are weak, and some even die. In other words, he is a sickness. Is not, that's 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is speaking there. Sickness is not something we celebrate in the kingdom of God. Sickness is something we celebrate. Sickness is something that we see as odd. Still out there? It's very odd. That's why Jesus' message, the message of Jesus Christ, according to Peter, he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. So that was a message. In other words, they were going around telling people, hey, God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He's got the Holy Ghost. Alright? And they were saying that all over the place. It was the message that the apostles were preaching. Obviously, they were not preaching about his death, prayer, and resurrection. That was not the gospel they were preaching. The gospel they were preaching was the fact that God has anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. In other words, that means the anointing of Jesus with the Holy Ghost, sorry, not with power, just makes me, he went about with power, I was a mistake. That anointing of Jesus was good news. You see now, that anointing is good news. Now look at the anointing. The anointing of Jesus is to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. So that's good enough a news. Just to hear that Jesus is a healer is good news. It's good news. So it was a message that they preached. Okay, so last week and the weeks before, we looked at the specifics of Jesus' healing ministry. The specifics. In Mark's Gospel, we're going to read a couple. Mark's Gospel chapter 5. Mark's Gospel chapter 5. There was a woman, that's her first name, with the issue, middle name, of blood, surname. That's how it goes, woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5. Look at that woman. Jesus makes a statement in verse 33 to 34. Jesus knew that virtue had gone out of him. That's power. And then the woman came behind to tell around to her family. She said, knowing that what was done in her, she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. What was all the truth? He said unto her, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Notice that. Your faith, said your faith has made you whole. Notice, he didn't even say faith has made you whole. Because if he had said faith has made you whole, we'll say, whose faith? He said your faith. Now, every time you hear your faith, that's your action. Your faith has made you whole. He singled out something she said. Now, it's very likely the woman will tell him that my name is Dorothy. I came from down Capernaum. You know, things like that. But that was not relevant to the faith. She could have been anybody. That's why she has no son. For example, if we knew about her and the church she attends, so maybe it's the church she attends. No. Just said the woman. He's your blood. The Bible says she heard of Jesus. Pay attention. And then, now, hearing of Jesus, Brother Higgins used to say, that was no action on our part. Some folks think the minute you hear, oh, as you hear it, that's all. No, there's no action on your part because you heard it. Praise God. She heard it. She heard of Jesus. Nothing. Sometimes you don't have to do anything to hear. Just like now, just hearing. You're doing nothing. But just hear it. Praise God. You don't know. So, the fact that you spend 2 hours hearing about healing is no faith. No faith. Let me have one more. The fact that you know, if you're very intelligent, if you hear about Jesus, you will know about Jesus. It's very likely, again, that she could tell you things about Jesus. But that's still not faith. The fact that you heard about Jesus, or you heard about healing, or you heard about this, or you heard about that, is not faith. Hallelujah. They try to share those, well, I've heard it before. I've seen people, particularly, you know, you want to lay hands on them to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they say, I've heard this before. You say, well, the Pentecost, I've heard it before. Say, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they'll be responding to you. You say, well, and then, they say, I've heard that too before. I say, well, what about, say, I know what you're talking about. I once ministered in a Bible school, 1995. I think that's the end. And nobody in the Bible school plus the rector spoke in tongues. And their curriculum had speaking in tongues there. And I'm sure they must have written exams and passed it on speaking in tongues. I told Brother Frank, Brother Frank was the president of our missionary organization. I said, isn't this ridiculous? He just said something that, you know, he said, well, they don't have the key. I said, what key? They don't have the key, they read it. In other words, they have what E.W. Kenyon, actually it was John Wesley that said it. He said, there's something very close to faith. It looks like it, but it's not it. It's called mental assent. You know it's there. In fact, you agree it's there. But that's where it stops. And those folks, you know, I recall, I told the story before, and I finished teaching anywhere. So young, I was in the university then. Oh my God. Then he came to me and said, what Bible school did you attend? Can you imagine? They're in a Bible school. They wanted to go to the Bible school that I attended. They're already in one. They think it's just about just getting more knowledge. I said, no. I said, you don't have to go to Bible school. I responded to the rector, the head, the president. I said, the school of the Word and the Spirit. He said, where is that? I just mentioned where I came from. I thought, you know, so you're just here. The curriculum was there. You can have curriculum on healing, and they'll say healing, there's words that mean healing. Where Jesus healed. There are 46 places where he healed by laying of hands. Yes, 46. And then the guy has sickness. So hearing means nothing. Hearing is important, but hearing is not an action. Still there? You hear that? Hearing is not an action. I said something, I don't know whether it was a Sunday or where he was here, that you can remember. I said the Word of God is so powerful that someone who does not believe can say it, and then someone will say it. Have I said it before? So powerful. So really, you can have guys who are signboard. And they just tell people what it is, but they are not living it. So she heard. But that's not what she did. That's not faith. When she heard of Jesus, she said, praise God. She did what? She said. Now, she wasn't preaching it to someone. She wasn't saying, and some folks think that, you know, preaching is okay. But you think by the time I can preach it, that means I believe it. Not true. Remember, their sister, she was in the ministry back then. She gave a lovely illustration I'll never forget. She was sharing in one of our conferences around the country. That was in 2002. She said, it's just like if you have vitamins. You tell everybody how good vitamins are. You read about vitamins. And you tell everybody this is so and so. Vitamin C, B complex, D complex, MMM, and all that. And you give it to everybody, and then you don't take it. She said, you will die of lack of vitamins, even though you know about it. You out there? Knowing about it is not the end. What she said. Praise God. She what? She said. When Jesus heard Jesus quickly told her, it's not me that made you whole. It's your faith. Praise God. Your faith made you whole. So, the hearing really wasn't an action. Mark's Gospel chapter 10. You learn it? Mark's Gospel chapter 10. Verse 50 and 51. And then someone cried, he's blind. He cried after Jesus. And then Jesus said, what would verse 51?
What wilt thou that I should do unto you? The blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Notice he said something. That I may receive thy sight, my sight. He didn't say, you are the greatest of the greatest. You are the most powerful of the powerfulest. Is that English? You are the greatest healer of the healest. Nope. I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go thy way. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Again, how did Jesus locate faith? He said something. So there's nothing called silent faith. There's nothing called silent faith. It doesn't exist. I know inside me that I believe. Or I keep knowing inside you. There's nothing called silent faith. Everybody said something. Remember Matthew 8. The centurion said. And Jesus heard what he said. He have not found so great faith. No, none in Israel. Why? He heard what he said. And in that very hour, the servant was healed. Still there? Matthew's gospel. Everyone that Jesus spoke to concerning faith, they said something. Everyone. In fact, Jesus told him in Matthew's gospel 8:13, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it unto you. As you have what? Believed. How do you know what he believed? By what he said. As you have believed, Matthew 8:13, so be it unto you. Nothing called silent faith. I'm praying in my heart. Keep praying in your heart. I'm saying it in my heart. You heard? I mean, can you hear me? You know, it doesn't take revelation to hear what I'm saying. Come on, talk to me, huh? You know, you don't have to be in the spirit to hear what I just said. You know, you don't have to ask God, what did he just say, right? That means I spoke normal, everyday language. So, faith speaking is just your regular language. It's just what you said. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just what you said. So, just like Matthew 15:26, the Syrophoenician woman, she said something. Jesus said, look, I'm not sent to you. But the Lord's house of Israel. She said, have mercy on me. That I can't take that which belongs to the children, give it to dogs. Said, even the dogs do eat at the crumbs. She kept talking. How do you know faith? By what you kept saying. She kept talking. The two times that Jesus modeled. So what's this? It's so far. So great faith. Great faith. She said. That is, she said. Jesus spoke, then she said too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at what she said. She said, the thing can still come to me. The woman with issue of blood said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Now, let me give you a background of that woman. Imagine 12 years. You have 12 years of doctor's treatment. You know, there's no way in the 12 years your vocabulary about yourself will not change. He doesn't say, well, we want you to come for a prayer meeting 5 hours. You know my condition. You know that? You know my condition. Usually I cannot go out at night. You know, you're already used to, because it's been a while. 12 years is long enough for you to have a confession. Builds on your experiences. But you need to learn how to put the word of God. So when the Greek says she kept saying, I realized what's happening. She had to change her vocabulary totally. Because there's no way. I remember in 1994 or 5, one of the 2 years, I always mix them up. There was a lady that was just like that. Not too, a young lady, she's about 15, 16. She said from the age of 11, she had blood come out of her body virtually every day of her life.
And then she's in the meeting. And I didn't even know. I was just ministering and I just said, but our God is here. And I just said, be healed in your body. I was teaching the Bible class. It was a Saturday afternoon. And then she screamed and ran out. Initially, I thought, well, so the demons are going out. You get it because you don't know. She came back and she said, the blood stopped. And I'm then, wow, which blood? She said, she's been dripping blood for as long as she knew, 4 or 5 years or so. She stopped. And she said, I said today, you see, faith confession doesn't have a mechanical. She said, I said today that I will receive my miracle. She just said that. And I didn't have a word of knowledge about her. I didn't even know anything about what was going on. I said, the power of God is here. I'm teaching the power of God is here. I think I was giving an illustration when I said the power of God is here. Not that I said the power of God is here, play the keyboard, we're flowing the Holy Ghost. No, no. That was it. Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus is teaching and his congregation, his conference is filled of Sadducees and Pharisees. Sadducee and Pharisee. And they were all there. And if you were part of them, you would say, see him. You know, you can be around the power of God and not know it. Power of God was in Acts 2 and 4, said, are they blind? I mean, are they drunk? Are they mad? What's wrong with these folks? And the power of God was there. You can be around the power of God and not know it. Why? Faith gives direction to the power of God. Still out there? Are you still out there? And here they are. Okay? She said, the lady got healed. I didn't lay hands on her. I had no word of knowledge. I had no word of wisdom. I had no word at all. That was she did. I think her name was Mary. Kind of think so. Maybe. So, he said, everyone that Jesus spoke about said something. Everyone. Everyone he spoke about, they said something. Everyone. Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. One more. Same. Same story. Believe you that? Now, the first thing Jesus said was, believe you that I am able to do this. Verse 28, the same story. And then he said, yes, Lord. And touch he their eyes, and saying, two people blind, sorry, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. And the eyes were open. According to your faith. So, everyone acted. Say, faith acted. Faith's not passive. Faith acts. And faith's corresponding action is in words. You don't know people that are in faith by their tears. You don't even know they're in faith by their praise worship. Hallelujah. I mean, people say, well, there is nothing you can do, my God. There is nothing. And then they sing and they sing and they cry and they cry. And then you say, right now, you are healed. God says you're healed. Oh, by His grace. You know, you just wonder, what did you just say? So really, you can't have faith without words. There's nothing called silent faith. You will know you're in faith by your dominant confession. Whatever is your dominant confession is what you believe for. For example, if you're believing for a financial raise, increase, or your bills to be sorted, you will not find yourself, if you're in faith, say things that I don't have money. Now, you wouldn't also lie to say I have a lot of money in my account. But you say things like my needs are met. You'll find your words have been changed because you're in faith. You'll say money comes to me. Praise God. I've had to correct like 4 people this week. I say, do you say, well, I don't have money. I said, no, don't ever say that again. If you say it like that, money won't come. You say, money comes to me. God doesn't hear you say, I don't have money, then he has mercy on you. Because you don't have money. He doesn't say, he doesn't hear, I am sick, then he heals you because you say, I am sick. You are yet to say you want to be healed. I am sick, it just means I like it, or my name is sick. Depends. So, do not assume that Jesus just pounds on people and he says, be healed, be healed. You say, why now? You get it? They just go, why now? Why do you have to lay hands on? Why am I here? Why? You know, folks, actually, they believe for it. Praise God. So they say, well, if God's going to do it, he should have done it before now. And that's why you'll find Jesus spent, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, he spent more time teaching than healing the sick. I'll take that one more time. He spent more time teaching than healing the sick. More time teaching than healing the sick. I'll take it one more time. He spent more time teaching than healing the sick. Why did he do that? If he was basically just going to walk magic, I've seen magic before. Magic. Magical art. Secondary school senior. He was Professor Pella's son. And he called me. He was 2 years my senior, I think. Then he told me. He said, have you seen magic before? Of course, definitely I've seen it before, but not live like you and me in the same room. I was just thinking, you know, because I think a couple of days before, he turned a rod to a bird and then back to a rod again. And I'm thinking, the least I want to become right now is a bird. So, I don't think I like to be a bird. So, maybe a lion, something like that, but not a bird. I think birds are so easy, just a catapult to bring it down, but a lion, everybody's going to run. So, he says, what's in that locker? And I said, a matchbox. He said, as you empty the matchbox, and I empty the matchbox, they said, put the matchsticks down, put it down. He said, close the matchbox. I opened again, and I saw the matchsticks inside. You know, that's quite demonic. And but he did it. So, you think Jesus just said, you know what, you want to see healing? Well, have you seen healing before? No. Hey, you don't see healing before. You are deaf. They open. You know, that wasn't what he was doing. He spent time teaching. He taught one day that he said, if I send these people out of believers' convention, they all die on the road. They are so weak from Monday that nobody took breakfast or lunch. Where today? It was the meeting was through, then he gave them food. In other words, he taught all day. So Jesus spent quality time teaching. He taught a lot of times. He didn't just pounce on people. In Luke's Gospel 5, look at it, 15. They came to hear and be healed. They came to hear and then be healed. So there are actions. In Luke 5, 17, as he was teaching, the power of God was present to heal. You check Matthew's Gospel 4:23, Matthew's Gospel 9:35. The Bible says Jesus, you know, Peter said he went about doing good. He went about teaching and preaching the gospel in their synagogues, cities and villages, and then he healed the sick. Look at the precedent. He taught, he preached, then he healed the sick. So he spent quality time teaching. Why would he teach so much? Because it is vital for people to hear. It's important for people to hear. They need to hear. So he taught a whole lot of time. Still there? So he taught. If teaching isn't important, Jesus will spend time teaching. He taught and taught and taught and taught. You know, if there was anything that said more about Jesus, less people called him Savior, less people called him Prophet, okay? Nobody called him evangelist. He was the only person that called himself shepherd. But there was something everybody called him that was teacher. Everybody called him teacher. His enemies called him false teacher. But he was a teacher. Okay? His disciples, of course, his teacher. A ruler of the Jews by the name of Nicodemus said, "Thou art a teacher come from God. No man doeth these miracles, John 3, to except God be with him." The Bible says there was a way he taught that the Pharisees were astounded that he taught with so much authority. So much authority. And they were shocked because he was neither in the, it was neither in the Sanhedrin, neither was he, you know, one of the rabbis that accepted in their culture and their practice. So he taught so much for you to hear and believe. Hallelujah. See what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying here? So the first thing we said about healing, don't forget on faith, is that faith begins when and where the will of God is known. Many times the difference between a miracle or what you should believe for and what you should receive is what you actually know. There are some folks that believe that the reason why they don't have children is probably because of something that they did before they got saved or even when they got saved. You know, they are just as spiritually dumb. It's just not true. Somehow they've got their thinking, you know, mixed up. And then some feel, well, the reason why I'm sick in my body is because of so, so, and so, and so. You know, they have reasons besides the truth. Reasons beside the truth. Jesus did not investigate anybody's past before he healed them. Hey, come on, what's wrong with you? Oh, wait, before you, let me tell me about yourself. Why are you getting luck? Marry me? What? Laughing? No, why? I'm just asking, just normal places, you know. Why did you get born again? You are graduated. Oh. Sorry, I'm going to ask one more question. No problem, my Lord. I'm really sick. I need it. How many boys do you have in school? Yes, sir. In my 100 level, you see? They all came with many incubus and succubus. And that's it. So what do we do, Lord? One by one. Today we deal with the first two boyfriends you had. But you didn't do that to anybody. You get? Praise God. You know, if we were, I remember a friend of mine used to say this, say if we were today's ministers, what would have happened was, who touched me? Virtue left me. Who wants to stain my holiness? That's what he meant by virtue left me. Oh, you don't get that. You need the Pauline prayers. So my friend said, you're crazy. Why do you say that? Because, blood, not so. Faith walked with whosoever. Praise God. Nobody was asked, where are you from? Oh, you are Jebu? Which part? He mentioned some, you know, Jebu has labels. Was your father ever living there? That's someone that doesn't know what he wants to do. He lives there. Have you ever eaten food prepared for him? What exactly are you? Are you an archaeologist? What's the story for? I just want to know so that I will know exactly what we are dealing with. It's not true. That's the minister that doesn't know what he's doing. Praise God. Peter's shadow did not freeze at a point. Exhibit. He didn't do that, just healed the sick. Praise God. Hallelujah. So really, some things you have to clear them in your mind. Been having sore throats since I missed WCC. I understand that anyway. That's understandable, really. But then, that's a joke. You need to know God's will. Jesus kept teaching. Same thing with the apostles. He taught and taught and taught and taught and taught and taught
to make known the will of God. He taught and taught and taught. You must keep teaching. Praise God. Did you hear what I said? You must keep teaching. T.L. Osborne once said this. He said, many folks are waiting for me to finish teaching so that they can get healed. So while I'm waiting for them to get healed so that I can stop teaching. Do you understand that? Praise God. That is the, you get healed. That means I expect you to be healed as you're listening to me. See, waiting for that great moment. There's no moment to wait for. As you hear the word, put faith to action. Praise God. Or put faith to walk. It begins where the will of God is known. In Acts 4:8-9, Paul was in Lystra and himself and Barnabas, and they preached the gospel. And then they saw a man crippled from his womb, from his mother's womb. And the Bible says they perceived he had faith to be healed. How do you perceive? The man is speaking. So faith is discerning words, but we said faith begins where the will of God is known. Now look at Mark 6. Jesus goes to his hometown. So I say hometown. It's so funny and very interesting that some of the people most difficult to minister to are those who are either from your family or those who know you very well. Pastor Hagin said this. Pastor Hagin, not Brother Hagin, now his son, Pastor Hagin. He's not Hagin Jr. He's going to be 80 very soon. So he said that every time they call him to minister to anyone, before he goes, he asks the question. He will say, that fellow, how does he or she see me? I'll say, what do you mean? What does he call? He said, if I hear that, they say, he calls me Ken. He said, I won't go. If he calls me Ken Hagin, I won't go. If he calls me Kenneth Hagin Jr., I won't go. Or if he says Pastor, then I'll go. There's just something about honor. I'll get to that, but that's not now. Jesus goes to his hometown. See what he said about him. They said, is this not Joseph's son? That's not a question of inquisition because they know him. It's not kind of question. Bolao. You know, it's not that they don't know you. Is that not me? Yeah, obviously people sit on TV and say, I saw you preaching on TV. Is that not someone telling me this? Is that not Onoyinka's son? He feels well as a young man. I saw him grow up. Too bad. That's a story for another day. And same thing goes with spouses, family folks. You be careful, say honey. Honey's got no healing power. Honey doesn't have healing power. He gave gifts, not honey. He gave gifts. Oh, come on, someone. Let me go to another crowd there. I said, he gave gifts, not honey, and sugar pie. Praise God. Oh, I'll take that one more time. He says, the apple of my eye. Can't take an apple for ulcer. I hope I'm right. You've got to get it right in your words. Is this not? You know, Mary changed our confession. First time she went, she tell him his mother is here. He's there. Who's there? There's your mom. Mom. What's mom? See, these are the moms. Hearing the word of God. Mary just knew what he said. Smiling. He went to his hometown and he said, ah, is that not Shekelu?
He knows exactly what they were doing.
Ah, is that not JJ? Jesus Joseph?
The Bible says they now heard that he had done miracles, because if you look at Mark 6, before Mark 6 was Mark 5, he just had the woman with the issue of blood and then Jairus' daughter. Two very vital miracles, and then he comes to his hometown and then we heard about it. And the Bible says they became offended. That it was a big deal. So, my mom, this is a story I want to share with you. She acted like that for a while. She, look at me and go, dang, funny stuff. My brother was my PA some 21 years ago. So, we'll go for Holy Ghost meetings. He'll follow me like this. And then we went for two weeks Holy Ghost meetings, morning till night, every day. Those Holy Ghost, I'll teach from about 8 o'clock to about 2. They'll flow with the Holy Ghost through 6. 1995 August. My brother attended those meetings. So there was the last day we had a family function, and the whole family, they were there. And I couldn't attend the family function because we had the Holy Ghost meeting. Really, I remember I preached on Hebrews 2:4. Signs, wonders, diverse miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost. My brother, he carried my jacket. I used to wear a t-shirt, and then there's a jacket like that. Not a suit, not a jacket like this, just a jacket. So that jacket did wonders that day. It did all sorts of things. So my brother carried that jacket like this. So we're going home. It's following me in the night. He's not talking. He's carrying the jacket. We go home. My mom said, where are you coming from? And she's so angry. What's he's not carrying? But then she swung her head. My brother does it. No, anointed jacket. And she's eating, she's speaking. None. She said a couple things and our sins are forgiven. Then, a year after, she came to me at night. She knelt down. She said, I'm really sorry. I said, why? But when she goes, I felt something's gone wrong again. She said, I'm really sorry. So the Lord Jesus appeared to me. He warned me about you. And all that. She said one more thing. She has been trying to be filled with the Holy Ghost for many, 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 many years. And then she had to come to me. At that point, I just readjusted. I said, let's see tomorrow. So she's just going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And so, I now called her sister in our fellowship. They can't lay hands on her. And she got through the whole thing. Less than, maybe 45 seconds. And then, from that point, till now, those of you know her very well, she doesn't call me by name. Notice that? 21 years. 20 years. She doesn't. Between her and Jesus. I don't know why. She can explain. So, it's vital. In fact, the next year, she had some folks who were possessed, according to them, a demon affliction. She carried them in our own car, possessed. She's a believer. She brought them to me. And I told them, she said, yes, come and meet this man of God. And I sat down. And I said, two of you sit down on the chair. And they sat down. I said, are you possessed? Looking at me, I said, you go inside. Yeah, I hugged her and said, you're not possessed. If you were possessed, as you came here, I possessed you. But really, you know, Jesus went to his hometown and they saw the son of Joseph. And the Bible says, there he could do no mighty work. He could do no mighty work. Jesus would lay hands on folks and nothing happened. He would give word out, nothing happened. That was the only scenario we ever heard, except the pool of Siloam. He had no mighty work except a few sick folk. Hebrews says a few sick ailments. That's a mild ailment.
The Bible says Jesus marveled. This is God in the flesh. You know, if you wear a $6 million suit, God will never marvel. Because He created all things. You don't say, you know, you say, ah, you bought a car, you know, you get my point. One time I bought my wife a car. She didn't know about it. And she saw it two times, not once, no, three times in fact. As she sees it, you see, ah, she looks at her, you know, she's shocked, she's marveling and all that. And then you feel like, oh, I did it. So fine. So no thanks. That's one of those things. And you have to say, that's good, you know, inside you. And you marvel. You buy things for your kids, and say, ah, you know. So God doesn't marvel when you know, I can say, whoa, how much is that his worth? $1 million. I said, oh my God. God said, oh my God. So, He doesn't marvel at things like that. But imagine what He marveled at must be something He had never seen before. He sees a kind of unbelief that is outstanding. He says, oh my God. God says, oh my God. Ah! This one is, you know, what we call tiarova. This is tiarova unbelief. You know, what kind of unbelief is this? But you see, immediately Jesus said that. He said, and he walked away. He now began to teach. In other words, that means unbelief is curable. He began to teach. He began to teach. Every time I've noticed something. Every time people invite me to minister anywhere and I teach, I spend time to teach, they receive more. I spend time to teach. I went for a meeting one time and then the pastor gave me 2 weeks to teach every day, 1998. Every day I taught. 2 weeks. Every day. I remember I taught on faith and confession. Every day. Every day. Everybody in that meeting got blessed. And I know because we found out. Every day. I just was teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and explaining. I'm not a teacher, but I can teach. Okay? So I'm teaching. Go, wow. We ask questions and I'm teaching. Now minister to them. Then I'll sit down now again. Then I'll explain again. Is that how church ought to be? Is that true? They taught. You check verse 12 and 13, then they now healed many that were sick. Of course, they anointed many whole, but they healed many that were sick. So, look at this. Brother Hagin used to say this. You hear this. Brother Hagin taught us straight. He said there are two kinds of unbelief. Two kinds of unbelief. The first kind of unbelief that exists is ignorance. Unbelief that comes by ignorance. That is when you don't know. When you don't know, then you don't believe. Paul spoke about that. 1 Timothy 1. He said, I did this ignorantly, verse 13 and 14, in my unbelief. But it's curable. Kind of unbelief. Where people just don't know. That is, they are not aware of it. First day, I went to a church in Zimbabwe in 1998. And I'm preaching about the things of the Spirit. And I mentioned the Holy Ghost. And they're just stone cold. You know, when you say something like yourself, and you're talking to them, glory to God. My very Matthew said, Jesus. I'm preaching that. I'm saying, Hagan. I make a joke. I'll talk the word. I'll talk both. So, they just curious. I give a call, nothing. So I went to the bishop, the pastor. I said, "So what do you guys think about the Holy Ghost? I always know something's wrong." And I said, now, before he said that, I'd seen the elders of the church come before the congregation, and they all go like this. And then they would say, so they were not used to what I was doing. Ignorance. So I asked the pastor, I said, "Well, they have this seven steps, and it takes some of them 7 years to get filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, I didn't argue with him. You don't argue with Pharisees. I said, "Okay, no problem." Old seven. So sanctification, second work of grace. Now, normally I don't know, God was so kind that day, because normally I would have said something stupid. Years back then, I would just respond immediately. I said, "Are you that dumb?" And then the guy would give me the pulpit again. So I said, "Oh, great." I didn't say great what. I said, "Oh, that's great." Here you can get grateful. Sometimes when people say, "I am grateful," I said, "Please don't always have the word great." Okay, well, let me get to this side. So, when I came back the next day, which is in the evening, I'm not sure it was on the morning, no, my friend told the morning. So I came in the evening to preach, and I preached about the Holy Ghost. And I spent time to explain about the Holy Ghost. And then somehow, the connection came. The ball went, pop! And it's oil! And it's oil! And it's oil! And it's oil! And they'll come to church with notes and Bibles and hymnals. So I gave a call. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I made sure I was looking at the pastor's face. They want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they all launched out because they're in the hundreds. So there was unbelief the previous day, but unbelief based on ignorance. So they spoke in tongues. Oh, glory, glory. And as they're speaking in tongues, they went near the bishop and then the boom, bro, soak up and also grab also in tongues. Are you still there? You know, have you ever seen people you want to minister to? A lady, she had cancer. She's telling me 1995. She's telling me she believes God put this cancer on her body to make her humble. So I said, "Close your eyes and raise your two hands. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this cancer. I ask you to give me more cancer for more human." Sarah! I said, "Come on, you need to be more humble. You're going to make heaven." So, "Sarah, I know." I said, "So you know more." No. That's ignorantly. Okay? So I explained the word of God to her, then I ministered to her. So we have kind of ignorance like that. And that's why Jesus in Mark's Gospel 11:22, you know, he said, "Have faith in God." Or have the God kind of faith. Or have the faith of God. He said, "Ah!" You know, if some folks say, "Have the faith of God," say, "Ah! Faith of God." Ah! Faith in God. Ah, ah! Faith in God is important though. You know, who just have been stuck to say, what does it mean? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Jesus, what happened? Have faith in God. Tell me. I said, have faith in God. I said, have faith in God. Faith in God. Hallelujah. Faith in God. Hallelujah. No. He knew the teaching will bless them more than the act. So he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now he's explaining the walk of faith. How faith walks. And Jesus made it so simple, you'll be a complicated human being not to get it. So simple. That means there was nothing he said they did not hear him do. So guys go, he's a mystery. So I was waiting to go, "Come on, Peter. Let's go there." They want to be, "You, since this fasting, you, when you are through, you will see praise in God." What did they see him do? They only saw him speak. What did he teach? Speaking. That means there was nothing about faith that he did not see. There was nothing mysterious about it. That means faith is tangible and discernible. It's just so simple, you may not know that's faith. That is, they thought he said,
when you guys were not looking, I did like this. You know, no, he said, he just said, no man, eat of thee again forever. And they all heard it. What did he explain? Whosoever shall say. That's all he said. The only thing he added to it is, when Jesus says. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. We say some stupid things when we sing. When Jesus says yes, nobody. He has said so many yeses and people have said no. Nobody can say no. When Jesus says yes, nobody can. To show you are not serious. Alright now. You know, he just said what it was. He didn't say, very, very assurance you, when I say to a mountain, ha, 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 me, what kind of question is that? I came from heaven. He said, whosoever! That means, it's just what you saw me do. That's what faith is. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. How do I know I don't doubt in my heart? But shall believe that those things which he say, those things, I'm not sure I'm done. Shut up! Keep speaking. Keep speaking. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have what things soever he saith. How many times he mentions things? Three times, really. And then he mentions believing once, and the Greek says, that belief shall not doubt in his heart is passive. It is not active. That means it is not supposed to be a conscious act. I don't want to doubt. I don't want to doubt. Forget about it. That is, the active part is speaking. As I'm speaking, that is absent. Do you understand that? Whosoever shall say, and shall say, and shall say, Jesus. You know, it is a, verily, verily, I say unto you. Wait. Okay. Whosoever. You write that down? Yeah. Shall is. Okay. Shall say. Unto. Hold on. Let me pray a bit. Unto. Father, talk to me. Unto. No, you know, it was a principle that was easy to communicate. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Jesus ensured that he explained it. Whatever cannot be explained should not be practiced. Whatever can be explained can be practiced. I say this like this. Whatever you can't teach is because you don't understand it. Jesus explained it. In Matthew 17, there was a woman said, well, the man said, well, I bought my child who was vexed of devils, and then your disciples couldn't cure. And then Jesus healed the sick. Then he said, Master, why could we not do it? It's called timing. Is that because of your unbelief? He said, if you have faith, as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say. Hallelujah. Again, he's teaching it. You shall say. He said that nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing. Praise God. Still there? So it's in words. Hallelujah. Did you notice that Jesus focused on us? He didn't focus. When he's teaching on prayer, Mark 11:24, he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe God. He didn't mention God. believe that you shall receive them, and then you shall have them. He didn't mention God at all. Of course, God's the one who gives, but you see, you determine the faith action. You do. He didn't mention God.
Whosoever shall say.
He says God gives good gifts. It does. But the fact that God gives doesn't mean you're going to receive. God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for the whole world, but not everybody has received Jesus Christ. So we don't say, well, where is God? No, it's not God. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish. So there's a part we play. Are you there? Are you there? There's a part we play. I know God wants to heal me. That's no faith. God wants to heal you. So, first kind of unbelief is ignorance. You don't know. And that's why Jesus will explain it. If you say, and don't doubt in your heart and continue to say, you shall have what you say. Now, why did he mention say three times? That means the saying is continual. Some folks think it's just a matter of pressing the button. Say. See. No, you shall keep saying. Hallelujah. Now, this is not the confession you make in the service. Oh, hallelujah. I'm this. Oh, thank you, Lord. And all that. And then you get to the parking lot, the same service. That's all we see, Amu. Now, saying this earlier, that there's something about that's about Woman with Issue of Blood. She must have sat with the doctor and had so much that she had to change what she was saying. Just look at the issue of David. He got to the battleground, and then he heard Goliath. Goliath has been speaking for 40 days, and he's been saying the same thing. Bring anybody here, I'll defy the armies of Israel. Goliath was saying that. Get anybody, I'll defy the armies of Israel. Saul, who's the head of the army, he's at home. The king. And he's saying, if anybody can take this man down, you have so and so and so and so, including my daughter. David said, including what? David said, daughter, said, oh. You put that last one, daughter. Oh. So, hey David. He said, who is he that, in the Hebrew, thinks or wants to? They said, he divides. He changed it. The armies of God. He didn't say Israel. You can't stop what comes to your ears. We can stop what you say. You can choose how you say things. You can't stop what's in the news.
Well, the economy is going to be very pretty, it's going to be pretty tough, it's going to be this, it's going to be that.
And then you analyze for everybody what they mean is this, and you analyze so well. Well, you need to put the word of God on your lips. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Lions are falling unto me in the pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Hallelujah. God supplies all my needs, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It gives me all things richly to enjoy. Hallelujah. As you see the news, just respond. Praise God. Hallelujah. So don't be saying, Pastor, they just sacked me. I said, who sacked you? I said, well, they sacked you, but others are waiting for you. I said, well, there are doors for me. There are others are waiting for me. So don't ever say that anymore. Don't spread everybody. I'm the sacked. 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 Praise God. I'm the favored. Praise God. Lines are falling onto me in the pleasant places, yeah. Hallelujah. One guy came to me one time. He said, sir, I was studying that scripture, the lines are falling onto me. I discovered that he's talking to me. I discovered that the Hebrew for that lines, he's saying, is the hard places in him. Listen, that's great study. So I said, so how about, you just got out of school. How about you say, it's very tough. I said, good, keep studying. Mental assent. Yeah, the lines are, the odd lines there. That was years back. I said, and then you are saying, with the same mouth, you know what it means, but you don't believe it. You change what you heard. Doctor told me 15 years ago. He said, this thing is incurable. Because I said, it's not incurable. So when I said, I'm going to heal. He said, you don't know what I'm saying. He said, no, you don't know what I'm saying. Look at me very well. You don't have the last say. You speak, I speak. Goliath spoke, David spoke. The last person who spoke was David. Praise God. You speak, I speak. Say your own, I say my own. How have what I say? Praise God. So, you still out there? So there's ignorance in unbelief. Unbelief in ignorance. First thing. The second kind of unbelief is unpersuadableness or a refusal to act on the word. A refusal to act on the word. That's what I was saying earlier. Mental asset. A refusal to act on the word. James 1:21. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. Do you know that you need meekness to receive the word? You need humility to receive the word. Humility to receive the word. Sometimes they're just too tech to flow with the power of God. Now, I've experienced the seedy side, that's before. Now, I'm not saying this to, you know, but I've experienced the seedy side and the villain side and ministering to people. You'll find folks who are not so wealthy and not so educated. They have a way to respond to the power of God. They just go, and then they go, and those guys who put their hands in their pocket, oh yeah, I've been sick for some time really, and it's fine, just lay hands on me if you want. It's not just proud. Young Kicho said, God does not talk to smart people. I don't know what that means, do you know? They're just too smart. Just Zoom, you know. Everything, we have a Holy Ghost meeting, and some guys who, they'll say, you know, I can see many young people, they're excited. Fool. Did you read in the Bible? According to the verse written to undergraduate, Jesus in his 100th level rejoiced in the Spirit. Is that what you saw? Jesus in his prelim years rejoiced in the Spirit. Is that what you saw? Praise God. Back to the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that true? Or he said the junior kingdom of God? They're just proud. And the same person will watch a movie. And they go, so you can laugh. Well, that's a joke. You cannot laugh because the devil is defeated? Why should I laugh over that? Huh? Glory to God. Why should I laugh because the devil is defeated? But I can laugh because something is funny. I'm thinking, why do you think God created laughter? Laughter is for joy and victory. Someone was talking to me. He said, we're having a business meeting, so I was trying to explain why things, you know, went bad sometimes in our factory and our business. He was saying, I said, but why? Why is everything just this bad? And I started laughing. He said, I said, what's funny? I said, you're funny. See, I'm a child of God. I told him, I said, I'm a conqueror. Nothing defeats me. He said, look at me well, let me repeat myself. In case you didn't get what I said the first time. Praise God. Challenges don't scare us. Like what Pastor Stone says, bring it on, devil. Bring it on. Bring it on. Hallelujah. Is that all you have? Had one more. Why did God create laughter? You know, he said you mustn't have coarse jokes which are not convenient. Then he says you laugh in the spirit. See that? Praise God. Amen. You know, he's Paul, Prince, Pastor, and Power, made a show of them open to heaven and amen. Hallelujah. God is on my side. Amen. Someone said, how come the judge is speaking for you? Is he on your side? Of course he's on my side. But can't you see the things you've done? I said he's on my side. What kind of stuff is he talking about? I said he's on my side. Yeah, see? You see? Can't you see what I said? I said he's on my side. You have to wait. Glory to God. Final year in school. Man said, you're going to have an extra year. I said, I'm not going to have an extra year. Said, ah. He's a Muslim. He said, ah. I said, sir, I'm not going to have an extra year. Sorry, sir, I'm not going to have an extra year. He said, but you didn't do this GES course. I said, I know, sir. He said, are you the senator? And they passed it. He was saying all those things. He said, I kept a miracle. I said, ah, sir, I believe in miracles. That's my name. I believe in miracles. He said, okay. So, you know, I checked him again on Monday. Amen. I want to check him. He said, that boy, come here. You see, I said, I don't know what you're using. He said, the Senate passed that we should do the result all over again. He said, can you quickly? I said, sir, I will do everything today. Hallelujah. I tell someone, I said, you know what? I said, assuming you have pain on your body. I said, it's failing me. I said, really? That's what everybody should say. I said, but it won't hurt you to say, I'm healed. Would it hurt you? I said, would the pain increase because you said, I'm healed? He said, no. I said, good. So, it won't hurt to speak the word. It won't hurt you. Amen? It won't hurt you to speak faith. Praise God. There's no money in your pocket. It won't hurt you to say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. It won't hurt to say that, would it? Praise God. Jesus had 5 loaves, 2 fish. He said, ask them to sit down. Everybody says, you will say, well, he wants to do an exegesis of fish and bread as a typology of Christ Jesus. He said, ask them to sit down. Then you have empty basket. This guy nuts. We said, there's famine. And dollar is 300 naira. And then you are saying, I should start buying things in dollars. He said, who are you listening to? The government or the Holy Spirit? Praise God. There was famine in the land, and Isaac sold in that same land. That's where he did his business. The same place. The same place. Well, by the indicators, the Nigerian Bureau of Statistics say that. The forecast. Which forecast? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God's got no time and season. He gave time to man. He stays in his own realm of miracles. He does miracles naturally the same way you breathe. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, he doesn't say, well, you know, there are 3 issues you brought before me. Let's deal one by one. Step by step, you know, let's deal with the healing first. You know, we have to rest after healing. Then we'll go for financial miracles. Don't worry through that one. What does it say again? Okay. Don't have to, okay. Let's, you know, one by one. You know, everything was going decently and in order. He can take everything at once. Hallelujah. I don't think you heard what I said. Let me go to the back. I said he can take everything at once. No, I don't think this guy said. Let me look at this one. I don't think I think I can take everything at once. Praise God. You sit down. I mean everything at once. Say, so, well, can't we ration things? Because so that God will. Hallelujah. See what I'm saying? So, some of us got mental assent to the word. We know it. John Wesley said, we look at it. We think it's faith, but it's not faith. Because it's not faith till you act. It's not faith till you act. Knowing so much about the healing power is not faith until you act upon it. You gotta act upon it. And you act by speaking. That's why many of us are in the danger of double confession. This morning we say, well, I'm blessed. And in the afternoon we say things are really getting pretty tough. You know, you said two things. Two different things. Because the things are tough in the natural. Well, glory. I'm rejoicing because I've overcome them. Hallelujah. 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 Friend of mine, we believe in God for something. He's looking for an open door to a school near Rothenburg. They're not going to take him. I said, hold my hand and stay with me. So and so, we prayed. So he said, I've called those guys. I'm thinking maybe I should. I said, man of God. August, I remember the first, said, so and so day, 2000, said, we have received. Calling and said, Mr. Sheik, I'm thinking, I said, like I said the other time, August, so and so day, so and so PM, we have received. So he got my message. So he will call me and tell me the bad news in faith. He'll say, even though they were saying something contrary, he doesn't give me the details. He said, but like we have believed, and like we have received, we have. Praise God. As he was saying that, he was talking to the admissions officer. Meanwhile, from the admissions office, they are sent him the letter. Someone was just telling him, no, you know, because of this Nigeria, blah, blah, blah. And somebody had treated it and sent it down. So while he was talking to the guy on the phone, he got the letter to come and resume. He goes to the university. He goes there and then he sees the guy. And the guy said, oh, and I went, ah, you're really persistent. You know, interesting. Praise God. You're going to speak faith. Amen. You're going to speak faith. No one goes down believing God. No one goes down believing God. You hear what I'm saying? Still out there? Faith and healing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Naaman's case. Can you imagine? Naaman is he lives in Banana Island. Rich boy, but he's got lepers. So he goes to the maid's head, though. He's been to all the doctors, and they come home, they made a lot of money off him. Then the housemaid says, I know someone in my town. Imagine. But the man said, okay, let's go. So, he carries caravan of gifts. He's used to settling people, big man. So he's going. So he said, go tell the man of God that, honorable doctor is here. Whereas the man of God, they'll have come out. Eh? Who's that? At the door of the church. Please, put up the keyboard. He's there. Wait, ushers, where is he? Stop playing softly, he's about to enter. Elisha said, go tell him to go to Jordan. Huh? Did you say Sheraton? No, Jordan. Jordan pool, where everybody goes. To dip himself 7 times. Rich man, 7 times. And then I said, ah. He can't even come out to talk to me. He made said, Master, you are still lepers. He said, look, you must say he's not collecting anything from you. What has he said you should do? You came all the way. He said, okay. So he's going. He had to put aside his thinking. Now imagine 7 times. The first time, nothing happened. Second time, nothing happened. Third time, nothing happened. Fourth time, nothing happened. Fifth time, nothing happened. You know the point you just say? This guy, he has been beeping rich men. He just wants to dish me. You know, you guys are thinking like that. You know, within 7 times, some thoughts will have come up in your mind. Six, nine. Until the 7th time, nothing happened. And the 7th time, his skin became horny. Praise God. He had to be humble. Hallelujah. He had to be humble. Still there? He had to be humble. Watch this. Jesus said, whosoever shall say, he shall have whatsoever. Brother Higgin was sick. And all the ministers that came to him, all of them, I think 17 of them, they kept telling him, don't be okay. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. Be okay is that. You'll be okay. Everything will be fine so soon. And they went to his parents and said, you know, what does he want at his funeral? All the preachers. Because they all kept saying, the era of miracles is over. Then Jesus told Brother Hagin, he said, did you notice that even though they said the era of miracles is over, none of them said the era of faith is over? He said, because if they say the era of faith is over, that means no one can be saved. So if they can't say the era of faith is over, and faith is you will believe for whatsoever. Come on, are you there? Praise God. So that light came up. Said, well, that's true. That means if faith is not over, if I can believe for salvation, I can believe for healing. Amen. So the same thing. You've got to know that faith works the same way at the same time. You believe as far as you know, and you believe as far as you act. Are you still there? The principles of faith are universal. Anybody, anywhere can use his faith. Anybody, anywhere. Anybody. I wrote something in my notes. I said, from my experience, many Christians I know, they get it wrong in the simple things. Have I shared the testimony with you? I've said it many times. A woman, a Muslim woman, she brought her daughter to a miracle meeting at Minnesota in 1998. Daughter couldn't walk. She brought the daughter and said, lay your hands on your daughter and wherever you came to church with, and then lay hands and say the name of Jesus. And she did exactly that, and the daughter began to walk. She was a Muslim before she did, a Muslim afterward. Hallelujah. It's just the same thing. Whosoever shall say, shall have whatsoever he says. Still out there? So people get in the simplest things. You know, I like one thing Dr. Fred Price said one time. He said, faith is so straightforward that God makes the act of faith something you can control. You know, you are the only one that can control what you say. It's so simple that you are the one that can control what you say. You know, you can choose today, alright, throughout today, to say nothing but the word of God. You can choose. It's something you can choose. You know, you can choose to be silent when people are speaking. You can choose to speak. So faith is that simple. You keep saying. From my experience, people missing the very simple things. Very simple things. Like I mentioned about mental assent, some folks know it in their head. They just know it in their head like an information. Oh, just know, well, it's true, it's true. Yes, it's true. But they don't act on it. They don't act on it. Quickly, let's look at a story of Abraham. Romans chapter 4. You still there? Not in a hurry. Romans chapter 4. You know, some guys can quit and they run out of service. One of the most funny things is for you to go out of a service so easily. 2001. I was preaching somewhere, and that's story keeps coming to me because I've seen it happen to people over and over again. And I'm going to minister, and the Lord showed me a brother that will come into the service. And he'll come into the service and he'll stay at the right hand of the auditorium. I was preaching for my friend, Pastor Boyega, there. And then the guy who comes to the right, he said, as you are about to minister to him and call his case by the word of knowledge, he will live. And I asked the Lord, I said, why can I not call his case before he goes out? He said, no. He said, he's not believing for you. That's why he's going to leave. And I'm shocked. You know, there's sometimes you see a vision and you feel like, Lord, something's going to change. So I'm preaching. I saw the brother. I saw him what he wore. That's how I saw his preacher saying, hey, glory, glory. He's excited about the message. Glory, glory. I know that. I said, stand up. He just left the same thing I saw. And I told my friend, I think before and after, he said, well, and we couldn't go all the things. The brother left. I've seen that happen to so many people. Praise God. Alright, let's go. Romans 4. Romans 4. That's why it become for me like camp meeting. Don't select sessions. Are you there? You say, I'll come for 9 sessions. Not our own kind of meetings. I hope you know. Not our kind. Our kind of meeting is not 90 meetings. No 90. No, the Holy Ghost moves in our meetings every session. Just about any session. Praise God. Is he out there? Romans 4. Abraham, watch this quickly. Abraham, the Bible says in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. The word he believed is used by Abraham 3 times. He believed, Romans 4:3. He believed. Again, Romans 4:5. He believed. And then here again. He believed. Whom he believed. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Pay attention to this now. The word quickeneth is the word zopo here in the Greek. Z-O-O-P-O-I-E-O. It's used for raising the dead. John 5:21, Jesus used it. John 6:63, Jesus used it. The words I speak to the spirit and life. He spoke about raising the dead. The spirit that quickeneth. Romans 8:11. 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Christ all shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. 1 Corinthians 15:36. 1 Corinthians 15:45. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Life. Galatians 3:21. And 1 Peter 3:18. Being made alive in the spirit. Every time it's used for the dead. Resurrection of the dead. But he says, God who quickens the dead. Pay attention. Which is resurrection of the dead. Same word, Romans 8:11. So, he says, before him, okay, whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and calleth the things that be not as though they were. How about that? Calling the things that be not as though they were. I'll take that one more time. Calling the things that be not as though they were. Now think about what is not now. Check your body. What is not there? What is there? What about your finances? What about your ministry? Years ago, some guy said, well, I was too arrogant. I told them, I can never fall. He said, 1993. And he began to hold a prayer meeting for me. Pride has entered his heart. Now I found them praying for me. One brother's house was like a Roman parlor. So I went there. I said, and he said, don't worry, what's that? Because that was my name there. I said, you guys, get up. They looked at me. Oh, he's here. I said, pray for yourself. You want to fall. I can fall. So you pray for yourself. Praise God, 23 years ago. Amen. They thought I was bragging. Maybe I was, but I was speaking faith. Hallelujah. I was speaking faith. That I'll never fall. That I'm going to be in the ministry for the rest of my life. And everything arranged themselves for that purpose. He's still there. Calling the things that be not as though they were. Simply means what you cannot see, but you can believe, you say it. You say it in the present tense like it's existing right now and it's happening. He's still there. Watch this. Jesus said, no man eat of thee forever. And when he said it, nothing happened to the tree. Nothing. but he said it. And he let them know that as he left the tree, he kept saying it. He kept saying it. When he got to Jerusalem, he kept saying it. Because that's what he taught them. I would continue to say. Sometimes some of us switch by saying it once and then just walking away. Not so. Look at Abraham. The things that be not as though they were. Let's follow this quickly. So he goes on to tell us exactly what he did. Active word. He calls. So he calls. He said things. Who again so believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations? Watch this. God says, I have made thee, but there was no manifestation. In the word of God is present tense, past, but there was no manifestation. So that's about it, that he might become. In other words, there's a space between what you believe and the manifestation. Or basically, what God says and the manifestation. So that he might become. After God said that, I have made thee, but I can see the manifestation. So what do I do to see the manifestation? Are you still there? What do I do? He says, against hope, he believed in hope. At that point, you don't know exactly what she means. And being not weak in faith, he considered not. Follow this. If you don't know what it means to be weak in faith, check out Peter. Jesus says, he says, Lord, if it be you, Matthew 14, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. What did he say? Bid me to come. Jesus uses words. Come. Jesus did not say, fly. Bid me to come. Some guys will have said, don't think I'm fish. You know, you'll have said, come. No flying boat. No floater. Jesus, come. And then he steps on the water. He steps on the water. And he actually begins to walk. But you see, Jesus said, come to me. So he began what we can call the walk of faith. And it began. And immediately, the Bible says he began to look at the wind. The wind was blowing before he went on the water. It was there. He began to look at it. Don't forget again, the wind was blowing before he went on the water. But somehow, it changed his focus. It took his focus of what Jesus said to the circumstances. You notice something again. That the winds did not stop blowing because he was on the water. You notice again, that because Jesus said the winds didn't change. We expect that the minute we start in faith, everything will change immediately. Not so. You will have to stay in faith. So if you know what it means to be weak in faith, watch Peter. Then Peter began to doubt. So they began to doubt. So there's a beginning of doubt. Doubt is not instantaneous. There are things you saw, things you heard, things you think about. Then he begins to sink. Was R.W. Schoenberg pointed out to me years back. He said, did you notice that Peter did not drown? You don't actually begin to sink in water. I said, wow, that's true. So there was a gradual decline. He showed he was moving from the supernatural to the natural. It's not immediately. Sometimes it's a process. Oh, gradually, you're changing what you say. Gradually, you take your attention of that. And Jesus went in, he grabbed a hold of him first. Then he said, why did you doubt? In other words, there was... what was happening that day was what Peter believed for. Weak in faith. In the Greek, it's a gradual process. Being weakened in faith. The same word for sick in the body. Being weak in faith. He was not weak in faith. Notice the word not. Not. Not weak in faith. Staggered not. Two things. Not weak. Staggered not. So there is something not to do. He staggered not. The word stagger. Now notice this. He was not weak in faith. That's not the only thing I want to say. He considered not. So the first thing, not weak in faith. Then considered not. Considered not is the word used for taking account of. Hebrews 3:1. Consider the apostle and high priest of our faith. James 1:24. Same word. It's the word kataneo in the Greek. It means to take account of it. It doesn't mean it's not existing, but you just took account of it. Oh, well, the pain in your body. The way I feel. You just take account of it. So, he was seeing it, but he never took account of it. Never did. He never considered it. He didn't make it a priority. It wasn't in his speech or in his confession. He didn't consider his body. What's about his body again? Now, How did he know his body was now dead?
Doctors must have told him or something. He didn't consider his body now dead.
He knew his body was dead, but he did not consider his body now dead. Though the word dead there is relative, doesn't mean that he was dead. You get it? Just means his body couldn't function to have children. The Bible says God who quickens the dead. You know, he goes to the very extreme. Just like Romans 8:11. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens your mortal body, and he's referring to the resurrection. But you know what? The truth is this. If the spirit of God in me can quicken my body and make it, you know, deathless, alright, then the least bit it can do to my body is heal my body. Hallelujah. That's the least bit. So God will quicken the dead, that's what he says. Cause the things that be not as though they were. In other words, knowing that God can raise the dead. Hey, Habe is saying, this is small fry. Getting my body to function. You know, he didn't just get healed, as it were, to have Isaac. He had Isaac, and he had other children. Baba Abraham did not stop there. He just manifested the power of God in the nations of the world. Great man. So he did not consider his body now dead. And Sarah's womb also what? Dead. It wasn't in consideration. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1-11, it says Sarah herself conceived strength in her womb to conceive. In her womb to conceive. By faith. Why did she receive strength? The Bible says, for she judged God what? Faithful. She judged God faithful. We saw Sarah do two things. She first doubted. Then when God spoke again, then she believed. Like we said, unbelief is curable. Say, unbelief is curable. What is the cure to unbelief? Teaching of the word of God. So here she is. She believes. The Bible says her womb was also dead. He staggered not at the promise of God. How many not? He was not weak in faith. He considered not, and he staggered not. There are things not to do. And there are actions that you will want to do, but not to do them. He staggered not. That shows you it was a process. Because for different things to come at you at once, it means it didn't happen the very first time God said it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith. Again, the same word. Strong, strengthened in faith. Praise God. That means you can strengthen your faith. You can strengthen your confession. Praise God. Are you still there? You're hearing God's word. You're strengthening your confession. You speak God's word. You're strengthening your confession. Hallelujah. There are things that you don't listen to at that period. You don't try to listen to them. Hallelujah. You strengthen your confession. You strengthen what you believe for. The Bible says he was fully persuaded. Hallelujah. So say fully persuaded. Say fully persuaded. That means throughout the process, Abraham was using the shield of faith. He will have thoughts come to his mind. Are you really stupid? You must really be stupid. You calling yourself what? Father of what? You're an idiot. Why don't you say father of a street? Why nations? You know, those thoughts will come and logically. And some guys will come and give their testimony to you. Brethren, you know, this faith, you know, faith comes in different ways. The faith sometimes is God testing you that in spite of all this, you will serve him. Every time I hear things like that, I leave the shield of faith. Someone was preaching today. I was preaching, and I just switched off. Praying in tongues. Shield of faith. Like I said, not me. Because, don't forget, silent faith is not faith. Silent faith is no faith. You don't resist words with thoughts, you receive thoughts with words. He didn't stagger. That means there are things he will hear from his doctor, from his friends. He gave glory to God. Hallelujah. When did he give glory to God? When the child came or before it came? Do you know how to give glory to God before you see anything? Giving glory to God, you exalt. You rejoice. Someone said, What happened? What happened? Tell me what happened. Because the world will rejoice because something happened that they can see. They rejoice for something they can see. We rejoice because of what we believe. Hallelujah. Whom you have not seen yet believe. And rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Praise God.
I said hallelujah.
Praise God.
I was in school. We're writing final, what do you call that thing? The yearbook. I said, so where we want to be in 5, 10 years? I said, I will be preaching the gospel around the world. You know? He looked at the guy. He's got no car. His shirt looks more like something that needs to be preached the gospel. You need to preach the gospel. I believe Irish. Amen. Praise God. I believe. I was sharing this testimony with a brother. He wanted to get married. So he's telling me, sir, and all that. I said, well, we're going to get married. We had no house to stay. So we're not even buying anything to put in there. Not a month before. I mean, 4 days before. My dad says, where are you going to stay? I said, it will come. My mom-in-law, she told my wife, she said, your father-in-law's house is big enough, right, to have you. She told me, we were laughing. And, you know, she said nothing, I said nothing. We didn't say, she didn't tell me, oh, you know, someone said, where are we going to stay now? What's going to happen? You know, remember one time, she was in her final year in school. And she said she believed to be the best student in the faculty, in the department. That's how I believe. I'm carefree about it. I believe. So she called me on the phone. Said, you know what happened? The supervisor said, this is my grade. So I said, So I said, let's move on. She just said, I just had to tell you. She didn't allow me to finish what I said. I just had to tell you. I'm not taking it. It's what I believe for. That's what's going to happen. She just shut the phone. I told my friend, I said, what did she say? I said, she's believing God. You may not know what someone is saying behind you, but you know what you are saying. All right? She called me back the next day. She said, the man came back himself. No one called him and rectified it. And I'm the best graduate student in my class. I said, hey! Did I believe? No, I just agreed. So, she didn't say nothing. We had camp meeting, police camp meeting on Sunday. We had rest on Monday. So, that's okay. Then my dad sent me walking miracles. So he said, I know something's going to happen. I know. And I said, oh, you should know. Well, I called him. It's Wednesday. So we got a house. He said, the only thing we have to buy is a TV. Yep. Because every other thing is there. So we got a house, furniture, air conditioner, microwave, gas cooker, beds, beddings, 4-bedroom. The guy says, just pay what you have. Then you balance the rest of it. Right? So I told his brother, that's how I got married. He said, you say 3 days? I said, not really, 2 days. He says, oh, I believe I receive. So exactly. Just believe God. Amen. He called me yesterday. He said, sir, I also just got a house. But his own different. Yours was paid for. Amen. Paid for. Praise God. He told me about his marriage last year, September, October. So just believe God. Amen. Whatever you read that has happened before can happen again.
People have been healed of cancer, it can happen again. People are healed of blindness, it can happen again. Deafness, dumbness, it can happen again. You keep the switch of faith turned on. Call the things that be not as though they were. Do you have anybody healed in the house? There's a few people, you know. Do you have anybody healed in the house? How do you give thanks to God on what you know has been done? Let me ask you, have you ever locked yourself up in a room and you spend the whole night speaking what you believe? Many of us don't take things that seriously. Do you notice that every one of us knows how to worry for hours and stay up late because just how am I going to figure it out? I'm in my final year and I'm going to figure it out. The business is gone. How am I going to figure it out? I can't pay my rent. And you stay up late. You know, we all know how to call so many people on the phone and we're talking. You know, we're also talking. Kule, what can you do for me? And we call and then we are exhausted. What about diverting that energy to faith? What about that? We spend so quality time, Lord, just trying to, you know, use what we think we have. But I've got faith in God. Said, I've got faith in God. Said, I've got faith in God. Said, I've got faith in God. And one time I went for a visa interview, the American visa, the first time I went to the U.S. And so I got to the guy. Said, "Ah, where's your student account? Where's it?" I said, "That's in the waiting room." I said, "I have none." He said, "Ah, so so person last week they sent him back. One of my said even the guy's a banker. He said, my manager who has been working management." I said, "Me, I'm traveling." The guy said, "Ah, okay, my dad is like, like okay, you know, like they are telling you that you come out and." You know, of course, it's simple. I just said, no. So I got there. And I saw people go, why? Why are they walking away? So I got there smiling. He said, where are you going to? I said, exactly why you're here. I'm going to the United States of America. I said, so what do you want to go there? Go do it. It's a holiday. He said, I want to know you're coming back. He said, I'm making a lot of money in my country. I can't ever make it in your own country. He said, that's good. So what do you do for a living? Tell me. I said, all right. I said, wait, hold on a minute. If you give me 3 months, I won't go. If you give me 6 months, I won't go. You gotta give me 2 years. So, no problem. I'll give you 2 years. So, thank you. That's all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Follow what I'm saying? Amen. And I saw the guy. He was denied. He had his. I think he bought the bank there. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe that I receive in the name of Jesus. And I have faith works for whosoever, for whatsoever. I speak faith. My faith is louder than any kind of doubt. My faith is my loudest tone. That means your loudest voice is your faith. You say, yo, my boy, no, I win! Yo, there's a pain on your body. You ought to go, yay, so I'm here! Go ahead and bless God. Go ahead and bless God. Go ahead and bless God. Go ahead and bless God.